Good morning. I'm Chris Paris, Chief Investment Officer at Oak Harvest Financial Group in Houston, Texas, and welcome to the May 8th edition of our weekly Stock Talk podcast, keeping you connected to your money. I'm titling this podcast, The Robin Hood Rally and a Teaser of Optimistic Outcomes. I'm titling this podcast this because I want to shed some light onto why the stock market has rallied so far, so fast, and why I think it's being led by a certain group of stocks. As of this morning, the S&P 500 is sitting near 2,900, and it is safe to say that 95% plus of the financial press and investing public over the age of 50 on TV, who continue to pontificate on why the equity markets shouldn't be here at these levels based on the economic data and based on the science of the virus. They argue and act like the rally from 2,200 to 2,900 doesn't count. I hear daily from the pundits who are almost entirely baby boomer age or older that while stocks are, quote, long-term investments, you can't invest now because times are so uncertain and volatility is way too high, that you can't buy an index fund right now, and that you have to be a stock picker. We turn on the TV and hear every investor opinion disguised as, quote, breaking news. It doesn't matter whether they manage stocks, bonds, real estate, or private equity, or whether they are a billionaire whose wealth was created through means entirely unrelated to public stock markets. The richer they are, well, it has to mean the smarter you are. We see every piece of virus news and economic data in real time on TV, and we are told why stocks are overvalued by 10%, 20%, or even 30%, or why this rally will retest the market lows of March, even as the S&P 500 has rallied from 2,200 to 2,900 in about 6 weeks. People are still waiting for that retest. We hear why people shouldn't be investing in the markets because times are, quote, too uncertain, as if they're always uncertain or uncertain at any time, that we are in historic times, that we are replaying the Great Depression or replaying the Spanish flu. Investors on TV keep arguing about the overvaluation of equities and lobbing out irrelevant PE multiples as justification on the market should be 20 or 30% lower. I hear opinions every day dressed up as breaking news that we should be trading at a 14 or 18 or 20 times multiple. Like the market and your portfolio care about that opinion. None of these soothsayers mention that the difference between these value metrics, say a 14 times earnings PE and an 18 times price earnings ratio, is about 28%. Then take the difference between an earnings estimate of $140 per share on the S&P 500 and $170 per share on the S&P 500, and that's another 21%. Add these two differentials together, 28 on valuation and 21 on earnings, and you get a range on the S&P 500 of almost 50%. That's quite a margin of error. That's really helpful to nothing. The team at Oak Harvest continues to disagree with the day-to-day overanalysis of most of these discussions and data points. When Troy and I filmed our YouTube video on March 23rd and entitled it Healing Signs, we weren't guessing at price earnings ratios of the S&P 500. We weren't guessing at S&P targets or earnings per share. We were looking at real-time data behind the scenes that correlated with the stock decline in February and March. We were looking at virus case momentum, which led us down in February. We were looking at a peak in country virus case momentum and a peak in stock volatility. We then overlaid normal historic investor responses to come up with how high and how long the first part of the stock market recovery rally should be. We did this because one of our basic rules as investor is what? It's not to fight the Federal Reserve. We aren't supposed to fight the Federal Reserve. That means if we're retirees, we're not supposed to do it. We aren't supposed to fight the Federal Reserve if we're baby boomers. We aren't supposed to fight the Fed if we're Gen Xers. And if we're millennials, oh my, the Federal Reserve, what have they done for millennials? Well, they made it rain. Plain and simple, it is not paid to fight the Fed. And here's where the first part of this week's podcast title comes in, the Robin Hood Rally. Late the week of March 16th through 19th, at the height of the acceleration in global virus cases and with market volatility as measured by the spot VIX index skyrocketing to close to 80, the Federal Reserve, as well as our leaders in Congress, came to the rescue of both our economy and the financial markets by announcing programs to flood the financial markets, particularly credit and bond markets, which had become gridlocked, with liquidity to unfreeze them and to backstop the economy through the forced shutdown of businesses for the second and third quarter of this year. As they did this, the vast majority of opinions on TV were this: it's different this time. You can't buy stocks. Volatility is too high. Or at best, it was safe to buy, but please, you have to buy safe stocks. Play defense. And what has transpired? Exactly the opposite. The stock market has rallied for 6 weeks to 2,900, and volatility has been more than halved. And what have been the best performing stocks in the market? Have they been the safety plays? Has defense led? No, listeners, exactly the opposite. What most people were recommending worked the best. The fastest growing, most volatile names, and most speculative names have rallied the most. Big cap tech names like Amazon and Netflix and PayPal were up between 40 and 70% in 6 weeks. Smaller tech names like Twilio are up a mind-boggling 150% off their 6 weeks lows. Outside of technology, whoever thought that trading chicken wings could be so profitable and fun? Wingstop Restaurants saw its stock rise, sit down, listeners, 173% in 6 weeks. These guys sell chicken wings. DraftKings, the recent reverse merger of the online fantasy sports gaming and gambling prize-winning platform, has risen from $10 to $27 in 6 weeks. Go back and think about Virgin Galactic, what it did in December of last year, rising from $7 to over $40 in less than 6 weeks. What do these names all have in common? Some will say they are all stay-at-home stocks, to which I can't disagree, really. But does that justify moves of 75 to 150% in 6 weeks? I don't know or care, really, if those moves are justified. I just want to know why these stocks led. Besides hyper-revenue growth, I argue that these stocks have led the rally. What these stocks have in common is that most of them are millennial stocks. Specifically, they are stocks that most millennials are familiar with. Millennials that, instead of having investment accounts at Charles Schwab or Fidelity, have their trading accounts at Robinhood. Hence the Robinhood rally moniker on this podcast. Now, listeners, we do not own these latter names or most of these type of hypergrowth names for our retirement clients. We do own some larger cap technology names, but I want to bring them up to show you that what is going on is not unusual in stocks. TV hosts are mystified. Of course, most of these hosts do not manage money professionally, nor have they ever. Why is this rally happening with such bad unemployment data? The answer? Thank the Federal Reserve. The lesson from the last 3 months remains the same. First, you have to be in it to win it and stay the course with your financial plan during periods of high volatility to earn the longer-term investment performance rewards of owning equities. If you want the potential average return that equities have given over long periods of time of 8 to 10%, you have to endure the ups and downs. So what now? We expect the pace of gains to slow pretty dramatically as the normal post mid-May day payday and option expiration is next week. However, we will be using the ongoing but anticipated period of sustained higher volatility through around July 4th to continue to position portfolios for a much better year end. At these levels of volatility, every week presents opportunities. What is required to capture these opportunities is patience. Patience knowing that while this event-driven downturn has a unique reason, the virus, our elected political officials and Federal Reserve is reacting with unprecedented speed and size to combat this event. Our nation and our economy and stock markets have endured numerous unforeseen, unpredictable events over the last 100 years. We've endured them, returned to growth, and subsequently prospered. On that note, I want to leave our investors and listeners an optimistic cliffhanger that I will address throughout the second quarter. Clients can go log on to the Oak Harvest web portal and view this accompanying chart for the answer to my question. Here's my question. So what if, worst case health-wise, this pandemic the COVID-19 virus is the second coming of the Spanish flu that happened in 1918 through 1999. My question is, what happened to the economy and stock markets after the Spanish flu? Was it bad? Was it good? Did the Spanish flu matter over the next 3 to 5 years after it was over? A little hint to the answer. And no, I wasn't alive back then. There was a nice little period of growth and prosperity for about 5 or 8 years called the Roaring Twenties on the back of the end of the Spanish flu. And what caused this Roaring Twenties? Was it what would now be the baby boomers or retirees? No, it was the younger generation re-entering the workforce, forming families, spending money on pent-up demand, and guess what? Investing in stock markets. Older baby boomers and retirees, nothing against this demographic. I'm 55, I'm on the edge of baby boomers. But that would not be us. That would not be us in our retirement age. That would be the millennials driving the economy and stock markets, which is probably why most everyone quoted on TV has missed the current rally. If you want a bit of a preview of our optimistic case for the next few years on stocks and the economy, please go Google recent interviews with Professor Jeremy Siegel. His recent bullish comments are very much in line with the investment team here at Oak Harvest thinking farther out over the next year to 5 years. At Oak Harvest, we are comprehensive long-term financial planners. What this means is that as our client, you and your financial advisor should have a financial plan that is independent of volatility of stock markets. If you are retired or in the process of retiring, give us a call at 281-822-1350. We are here to help your path to your financial future and help you smooth the financial path that you have into and through your retirement years. Thank you, many blessings, and stay safe. This is Chris Barris at Oak Harvest.
The preceding content expresses the views of the speaker and is for informational purposes only. It is based on information believed to be reliable when created, but any cited data, statistics, and sources are not guaranteed. Content, ideas, and strategies discussed may not be right for your personal situation and should not be considered as personalized investment, tax, or legal advice, or an offer or solicitation to buy or sell securities. Investing involves the risk of loss, and past performance does not guarantee future results.